Welcome back to the podcast. We are on episode 50 today. I truly can't believe it. That sounds crazy to me that this podcast has 50 episodes now in just about 9 months of podcasting. And I just wanted to tell you that I'm so thankful that you're here. Whether this is your first episode to listen to, definitely head back toward the beginning because there is lots of starting points there. But if you have been here since the beginning, I'm amazed and thank you so much for being here. Either way, one thing that I would love to do to celebrate this 50th episode is to be able to get this podcast to more women. And I would love to have you share this episode with a friend, and or if you could take literally 30 seconds to leave a star rating at the bottom of your podcast app and or a written review, that would mean so much to me. It really, really helps get this podcast out to more people. I know you've probably heard that before, but I truly, truly appreciate it. And it is such a blessing to me. So if you would take a moment to do that, that would be amazing. And I have Dr. Heather on with me during this episode to celebrate 50 episodes in because she was here with me at the very beginning and co-hosted many of my first episodes with me. So Dr. Heather and I are diving into thyroid function today. And we really wanted to have this conversation because it really, truly is a piece of hormone balance that is sometimes overlooked and sometimes seen as kind of its own thing. Like it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, sex hormones or stress hormones. And it's really just one domino in the cascade of hormones. And so we wanted to shed some light on thyroid, how it affects things, what you need to look for, and how to know what is going on with your thyroid. So without further ado, let's do it. Welcome to the Happily Hormonal Podcast. Now, if you're a little iffy on whether or not the word hormonal is a good one, you're in the right place. My name is Leisha Drews, registered nurse and functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner turned holistic hormone coach. And after going through my own hormone journey and having my three babies, I actually believe that our hormones are one of the greatest gifts that we've been given as women. And that no matter what you've been told, it's possible for you to have thriving energy, good periods, and a stable mood all month long. And I am here to show you the way. I think it's time to change the narrative around words like hormones and hormonal and start to reclaim the power that we truly have as women, which is the power to change not only our own health, but the health of all of our family for generations to come. Hormone balance doesn't have to feel hard. It can actually feel simple and fun when we do it in a way that aligns with how our bodies were made. If you're ready to start trusting your body again and feeling really good in that beautiful body that you've been given, then grab yourself a yummy drink and maybe a snack and let's do this. Hello, hello. Heather and I are here and we are excited to talk today about thyroid because even though, you know, the hormones that we focus on all the time are really more of like the sex hormones and even the stress hormones, thyroid is a huge piece of this puzzle that we do not overlook at all when we're looking at all these hormones, but we don't talk about it as much. And I know that thyroid is a big concern for a lot of my clients and a lot of my students, and it's really on the radar a lot of times when you're looking at your hormones. And so we wanted to take the time to really talk about thyroid today, what your thyroid does, how it matters for your body, for your energy, for all kinds of different things. And because Heather was with me for the very first episode, and this is episode 50, I wanted to have Heather with me as a celebration. And so we're going to have a fun thyroid conversation today.
Yay. I'm so excited to be here as always. I was thinking like, 50th episode in thyroid. I was like, is this exciting? But I think it is.
I know. But I think it's needed.
It's exciting, you know? Because what we'll talk about is how the thyroid really is like the metabolic hormone. So it is a little milestone to be talking about in episode 50.
It truly is. I mean, this is us. We're selling that the thyroid is exciting. And so by the end of this episode, you're going to believe it.
You're so pumped. You're going to be paying for thyroid tickets instead of Taylor Swift.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I don't think we're quite there yet, but let's dive in. Let's talk about the thyroid. So I would love for you to start, Heather, and tell me, like, what are some of the biggest misconceptions you hear about thyroid? Just to start.
Ooh, okay. Misconceptions. So a lot of times I think that it gets this catch-all because really it wasn't, in my opinion, until like female hormone imbalance, just talking about it and it being an actual problem, I think is something that just picked up in the last couple of years, like maybe a little longer than that. But before everybody, it's almost like it was a trend of like, oh, well, you're gaining weight, it must be your thyroid. Oh, well, you know, you feel tired and fatigued, it's probably your thyroid. I can remember being a little kid and like hearing about all my aunts and their thyroid problems, right? And so I think about how almost like things have shifted. And it's almost the same concept I see in female hormones now of like, well, we have this recognition that the thyroid influences all these things like energy levels and weight and sleep and fatigue. But what didn't happen was that women started getting educated on how to fix the thyroid system. What did happen is that everybody got put on thyroid medications. So that was just like the first trend. And so it's like now we have more information, but I still think that clear picture of how does the thyroid system actually work? How does that system interplay with metabolism? How does that interplay with female hormones? There's still a lot of room to go. And then I also think that people immediately hear or they see thyroid levels that are off and think that, well, there's nothing you can do about it besides thyroid meds. And that's not the case. And then the next thing I see a lot of times, man, especially in the world I'm in that's a little more submersed in fertility, is that people miss the most accurate thyroid range that you should be in. A lot of doctors excuse a subclinical underfunctioning thyroid and say, oh, well, it's fine, when really we do need to optimize those levels. But then the way they're optimizing it is putting somebody on thyroid hormone. And sometimes they're even seeing like, well, we're just going to do this a little bit just to get your levels better so you can get pregnant. But that is going to have really big implications. And that's going to be a long-term issue, which is probably the last myth I hear, which is that once you start thyroid meds, you can never come off of them. And that's not really true either. It's just that you can't just come off of them without changing other things. Again, because you have to know how the system works.
Yeah. Yeah. I love all of that. So I'll just chime in my misconceptions that I hear a lot. And I definitely have women come to me all the time who are like either on thyroid medication, and most of them are like, I didn't want to be on thyroid medication, but I don't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. So definitely lines up with what you're saying. And the other thing is just this idea that if you have low energy, if you have weight gain, if you have some of these symptoms, so symptoms, by the way, associated with lower thyroid function, and we can talk a little bit about high thyroid function. You can be on either end of the spectrum, but to be honest, low thyroid function is like vastly more common and we see it so much more. And it really is just a big piece of this puzzle of metabolic dysfunction, of stress on the body. It's another little domino in the cascade of events. When your body is under stress, it doesn't have the nourishment that it needs, and it's continuing in that pattern, your thyroid just can't work as well. And so a big misconception, I think, is that we see these symptoms and we put someone on, I don't do it, but if you have prescribing abilities and you put someone on thyroid medication as a doctor, that it basically like fixes the problem. And I will just say as a caveat, like, first of all, we don't ever give medical advice here. We're not doctors. But the second part of that is sometimes if someone is on thyroid medication, they need to be on thyroid medication. So we're not here to say you never need it. Your thyroid needs to be working. You need that thyroid hormone in your body. It's really, really important for your metabolism. It's important for brain function. It's important for your cells to get the nutrients in them that they need. It's incredibly important to have thyroid hormone. And medication is not the only answer, and it doesn't have to be the long-term answer, which is what Heather had talked about. So going back to symptoms, if you're listening to this and thinking, I wonder if my thyroid might be a piece of the puzzle, hair loss is a big one. A lot of times hair loss postpartum can have to do with thyroid, even at a lower level. Fatigue, for sure, dry skin, weight gain, low energy, really this like picture of fatigue where you're like, I can't get out of bed, I can't function well. And even constipation or just like slow digestion, all of those things can be related to thyroid. And it's not just thyroid that we're talking about when we're talking about thyroid.
Hey, quick interruption. I wanted to let you know that I have some super special bonuses for you when you join Nourish Your Hormones through the end of the week, through Sunday, April 14th, you can not only save $100 off of the new full price of Nourish Your Hormones, but you get access to two small group coaching calls with me as a new Nourish Your Hormones student. These are going to be very intimate. You are going to be able to get coaching with me face to face on exactly where you are with your hormones and what your specific next steps are. And then the next month we'll reassess and troubleshoot. So you're getting two personalized coaching calls with me, and I included access to the new Restored Mini Pod course so that you can start listening and balancing your blood sugar and your hormones on the go. I have gone behind the scenes and spent the last couple of months making this course completely updated, completely brand new and ready for you and better than ever, and broken my traditional Nourish Your Hormones method down into a simple 6-step process that has symptom-specific protocols, 2 recipe guides, and you also get access to 6 months of monthly Q&A calls and a community for questions anytime. You are not doing this alone. You have the resources at your fingertips, and I cannot wait to see you inside. So you need to join before April 14th at the special link in the show notes to get all of these bonuses and $100 off, which means you are getting over $800 in value for less than $400.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, just playing into kind of like, why does thyroid play a role in those feelings of like energy and fatigue and constipation, that thing, those things. And I think a big part of it is because the thyroid, yes, you have a thyroid gland that's in your neck, but a lot of the process of that system is starting in your brain. And so the thyroid is what, when we talk about metabolism and like setting that thermostat of, hey, we want you to speed your metabolism up. We want you to have a gut that's functioning really well and quickly. We want you to have enough production of energy hormones. We want you to have enough production of progesterone. Thyroid is kind of like the manager that's coming in and giving you everything you need and like setting the pace for those organs and your body itself being able to do that. And thyroid's also the control mechanism, because when your body gets too stressed, when you don't have adequate ingredients, when, you know, there's this overload of cortisol and stress hormones, the thyroid's the first place that signal gets sent to the body, kind of the first place it's picked up. And so that's also what slows down the pace. So it's this like, it's like the manager. I think of it like the Michael Scott of your body. Like the like corporate is going to go to the manager first and say, hey, this is what needs to change. And then the manager has to decide, okay, this is what we're going to do about it. And I think of your thyroid like the manager.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about thyroid markers. I think this is a really important thing that I see really done wrong, basically. Mm-hmm. I was going to say it a nicer way, but done wrong most of the time, is when you think, hey, maybe I have a thyroid issue, and you go to your doctor, or even you just go to your doctor and you have, you know, just those general things like, I don't feel like I can lose weight, I feel tired, whatever, they're going to check your thyroid for you. And they're going to check your thyroid generally, almost always when I see this done, in a very incomplete way. Mm-hmm. So there are several markers that you can get done for your thyroid in blood work. And the first one that they will check usually is TSH. And so TSH is your thyroid stimulating hormone. And that is what your brain is telling your thyroid to do. And so what Heather was just saying, like, this is the manager, your brain is trying to manage everything. It's going to tell your thyroid in stress that if your downstream thyroid hormones are not showing up how they need to in your cells, then your brain is going to tell your thyroid to work harder. And so that TSH number in low thyroid is actually going to be elevated. And like Heather was saying, there are functional ranges, there are optimal ranges, and there's ranges that are considered normal in like regular medical practice. Basically, the difference in that is when you're in regular medical practice, I worked in the hospital, so did Heather. We know this to be true. What our lab work is telling us is, do you need medication or do you need to go to the hospital? Is it a little bad, out of range, where you need medication? Is it terribly bad, out of range, where you need to go to the hospital? That's literally what we're looking at when we're looking at labs. And so our normal ranges are based on really truly like averages of an unhealthy population, number one, but also they're wider than they should be in most cases, because really what we're looking at is like, are you sick enough to need medication? So you can have your TSH checked and it be fine. And not only is it an incomplete piece of the puzzle, because all it's telling us is what your brain is telling your thyroid to do. It's not telling us why by any means. So even if that looks fine, there can be other things off with your thyroid, number one, but the range might be too big, in my opinion, for optimal function. So that's TSH. That's the first thing that is usually checked. Then we're looking at the next step in your thyroid process, which is T3 and T4. These are both important thyroid hormones. They're both needed. T3 is the active form, and T4 is needed to make T3. But basically, T3 and T4 are the measurements of what your thyroid's actually doing. So your brain's telling your thyroid what to do with the TSH, and then we're seeing what your thyroid is actually doing with the T3 and T4. Sometimes those are checked, sometimes they're not. And then the next step in the process to actually see what's going on with your thyroid is to look at the free T3 and the free T4. So that free T3 is the hormone that's actually being able to be used in your body. It's able to be bound to the receptors on your cells and used for the functions that you need for a thyroid hormone. But something that is missed a lot of the time is we don't even check this, or maybe we check one and not the other, not the free T3 and the free T4. But this is a measurement of what your brain is telling your thyroid to do, what your thyroid is doing, and then how your gut and your liver are converting this hormone and making it available to actually use in the body. So there's like layers that we need to see here. And so most of the time when you get, you know, two numbers checked on your thyroid, you're not getting this full picture. So we don't know where to go from there, even if your TSH is off. And then another thing that I think really is important to check, because it does change the way things are treated, is your antibodies. And there's a couple different ways to check antibodies. I'm not going to go deep into that, but checking antibodies is important, because if you have an autoimmune thyroid condition, the most common one is Hashimoto's. There's also Graves' disease, which is more generally on the hyperthyroid side. But Hashimoto's, that's, in my experience, that comes back to gut function, that comes back to liver function, that comes back to inflammation in the body. There's a reason that you have this autoimmune component to your thyroid. And so there are specific food triggers, there are specific other things that we're going to look at when we know that there's that antibody component that trigger, or it's more of a sign of an autoimmune component. And so again, when Heather and I are looking at thyroid stuff, we're never diagnosing anything. That's not our scope. And we are looking at like, what does this mean for the body? What does this mean for function overall of your thyroid? And we're always looking for the why. And so when you come back with some of these labs and we see, oh, like the why here is because you have a lot of inflammation, you have some autoimmune stuff going on in your body, and your gut and your liver are not converting these hormones, that's a whole different thing than just you need more thyroid hormone in your body.
Yeah. So I think just to summarize and add just a couple things, like first is that 30,000 foot. So your brain is telling your thyroid gland, hey, this is the amount of thyroid hormones you need to make. Your brain does that using TSH. And then your thyroid gland is perfect. I'm going to go make some T4. And then you have to have some minerals in order to convert that T4 to T3. And then it's perfect. We've got a lot of T4. Let's make some T3. The T3 goes out and does its job by telling all the organs what to do. One thing that I also like to see tested is reverse T3, because what happens is if the body is low in selenium or iodine, you're going to see that you have too much T4, not enough T3. And then the second problem is if the body is low in both of those, and or you have too much cortisol, so there's too much stress in the body, it will actually hold on to what we call reverse T3. And so that's a really good marker to see if your stress hormones are what's causing your thyroid dysfunction. And this works, I see this a lot in people that have HPA axis dysregulation. So people that are under eating, that are over exercising, that really the body is just stressed to the max. But every time you get blood work, it looks like your thyroid hormone is normal. I usually see that reverse T3 is playing a role there. And it's just this quick insight into, hey, is your stress driving your body to save thyroid hormones, almost like a savings account, so that the organs don't do too much work? Because if the body's stressed, it wants things to be saved. It wants to hold on to energy. It wants to slow metabolism down. And that can be a marker of that. And then another thing that you mentioned that I just think is helpful to understand when it comes to antibodies, like, why does the body create autoimmune conditions in general, including Hashimoto's? I find that Hashimoto's is usually the first autoimmune condition I see most of the time, but this usually is coming from leaky gut. And so the reason that I wanted to bring this up is because there is a big myth out. I shouldn't even say it's a myth. There's just a lot of conversation out there around going gluten-free if you have a thyroid condition. And so part of the reason that that's out there is because if you took a picture of a thyroid molecule, a T3 molecule, so what's active and the body recognizes as stimulating thyroid activity, and you looked at that picture beside a picture of a gluten molecule, they almost look identical. So what starts happening is that if your gut is leaky, so things that you're eating are coming out and the body's creating antibodies against that, then it can get confused and be like, oh, there's some gluten, when really it's a thyroid hormone. And so that's why when people have Hashimoto's and their antibodies are out of control, it can be helpful to reduce gluten so that you can reduce that antibody load. But that's why you want to know your antibody status. So if you're just low thyroid and you're looking on, you know, a Facebook Google account or a Facebook page that says, hey, you should really go gluten-free if you have hypothyroid, that's just something to consider because there's a mechanism of where in this system are things disrupted. And that's going to help determine what is your best next step. Do you need to go gluten-free? Do you need to work on your stress hormones? Do we need to seal back up your gut? Do we need to replenish iodine or selenium? And that's going to be different for everyone. So if you know your thyroid's underfunctioning, you're suspecting it, and you're just trying to finagle your way through the whole, even the natural holistic world of what to do, you could inadvertently be putting effort where it's not needed. Or you could even be adding something like iodine or selenium that's going to have a negative effect on that healing process because that might not be what your body needs.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you brought that up because I think that there are so many different thyroid treatments out there more naturally, which is great. And it really is specific. It still is, you know, there are going to be things that are across the board, like if you're not eating food and you're eating processed stuff, that's going to be terrible for your thyroid all the time and your whole body. But like, there are more specific things that I'm glad you brought up iodine and selenium. You can take way too much iodine and your body can be in a place that it's not ready for iodine. It can be in a place that it doesn't need extra iodine. It really depends on you. And that's something to go deeper with. That's not something that's just across the board, like, oh, I should just take iodine. It's good for my thyroid. Because it really can cause issues depending on whether or not your body is ready to respond to that or even needs it. So I would definitely recommend being careful with that.
Do you ever recommend iodine? It scares me because if you do too much, your TSH is going to skyrocket and it's just a harsh, I don't know. Do you recommend it?
Yeah, I generally will just do food-based if I feel like that's a piece of the puzzle. Yeah. And honestly, we haven't had to really go deeper than that usually. Usually we see things moving in the right direction with the other steps that we've taken, but there are iodine tests that you can take. There's like an iodine loading test. That's what I would do if we needed to go deeper with iodine for sure, is I would do it very, very in a cautionary way for sure.
Yeah, I think I'm like you. We see so much movement in other areas and I like to start with food-based because here's the difference I think is important too. If you're just taking an iodine supplement, your body has to do something with that dose that you've been given versus if you're taking a whole food supplement that has iodine in it, your body can choose to take what it needs and get rid of what it doesn't, right? And that's true with almost any whole food-based supplement. So I just want to highlight that too, because ironically, I've had multiple clients in the last couple of weeks that have one way or another ended up on iodine supplementation and it's just been a wreck. And they were seeing opposite results of what they wanted. And I'm like, oh, this is so important that, you know, we just recognize that there's kind of like first steps that are going to be optimal. And if you start on like step 7 before you've addressed steps 1, 2, and 3, then you could be staying stuck or setting yourself back more than you want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree so much. And so again, with the thyroid, I think that it's one of those things that like, yes, there are very specific things that we can do to support the thyroid. And there are when you have testing, so you know what's going on for you, we can get more specific. And so many of the foundation pieces are going to support your thyroid because your hypothalamus and your pituitary gland and your thyroid and your adrenals and your sex hormones, these are all working together and they're all using a similar signaling system, like pieces of the same system. And so again, creating peace in that system essentially by telling your brain things are safe, nourishing your body well, getting adequate minerals and nutrients and like working on your stress, all of those things are going to start to move the thyroid in the right direction. And I can't say you won't need more than that. But if you're not doing those pieces, jumping straight to thyroid supplementation, whether that's a medication or even just a thyroid supplement, that's, again, it's just skipping a lot of pieces and skipping a lot of the why underlying. And then I would also say, almost every single time I've seen thyroid issues, there's a lot of issues in the gut. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of issues with liver detoxification and even birth control. Like, birth control makes a huge impact on the thyroid. You want to talk about that real quick?
One, sleep too, like thinking through. So yeah, the biggest issue I see is that your pituitary gland is what creates the signal to, like, that is what makes that TSH going to go tell the thyroid gland what to do. That's also the gland that makes your FSH and LH, which are just two accessory female hormones. And I say accessory, meaning they're not the big ones we think of, estrogen and progesterone and even testosterone. But what happens with birth control is that that system gets shut down, the connection between that pituitary and your ovaries. And so anytime, again, we're like disrupting signaling in the brain to do its job, you have the potential, I mean, not even the potential, like, it's going to signal everything to change. And then there's a lot of debate too. I'd be curious your thoughts on this too, Lisa, of like, is birth control more like convincing your body that you're pregnant so that you don't get pregnant again? Because it is shutting down ovulation and it is telling FSH and LH not to release, so not to release an egg anymore. Or is it more like menopause where everything just gets turned completely off and everything's paused? I think it's a little bit more like menopause, but the reason I ask this is just because, or like your thoughts on it, is because there's big things that happen with the thyroid when somebody is pregnant. And they can be good, but also having some excess estrogen, having estrogen that's not breaking down properly, all which are things that happen when you are taking birth control, especially if you're taking it orally, can influence that signaling pathway and can cause the body to really get backed up in the way that it's making and breaking down thyroid hormones as well, especially if it's already backed up and how it's making and breaking down estrogen because the birth control is turning those systems off. So anyways, that just to me always highlights the importance. I always tell people, if you're trying to get pregnant, you want to have the system itself working really, really well, because pregnancy does a number. And if you already have a system that's working well, the chances of that being something that is an implication for you or something that is residual after pregnancy is really low. But with birth control, it's the same issue of like, hey, it's doing a number, but a lot of people aren't checking thyroid before and after going on or off of birth control. And most people that stop birth control, the doctor just says, stop it. And so they're not getting the support they need to restore that signaling. And then also making sure that once you are restoring that signaling, that your thyroid and that signaling process picks up and resolves as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that that's so important. And maybe we'll do another episode on birth control soon, because I think there's so much we can go into here. But I think that really just understanding, you know, I would say that vast majority of women that I talk to and work with have been on birth control in the past. They have thyroid issues now. It's not a coincidence, basically. Like, there's a lot going on there that is tied. And it's not just what Heather said about like the thyroid signaling directly being thrown off. I would agree with the menopause scenario, but there's so much more to that. It's every single piece that we've talked about. It's your minerals, it's your gut, it's your nutrients, it's your stress, liver, like, it's everything. And birth control affects all of that. So does birth control cause all thyroid problems? Obviously not. Does it cause a lot of thyroid problems? Maybe, probably. That would be my thought on that. So we just wanted to really do, you know, somewhat of a kind of like overview of the thyroid, help you understand, if you're listening and you thought you maybe have high thyroid issues or even you're on thyroid medication, a little bit more what's happening here and how important the foundation is and how important it is, honestly, just to be empowered and understand what's truly going on in your body versus just knowing, oh, I think my TSH is sometimes off and it's fixed with thyroid medication. Cool. But that's similar to the band-aid effect of birth control. And so we just want you to know that there's more to look at. There's more to go deeper because it can affect you long-term, can affect your metabolism. It can affect your stress in your body. It can affect your fertility. And like, we don't want any of that for you long-term. We want to be able to help you support your body so that you can continue to heal and get better versus go this downward cascade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. I think it's good. And again, it goes back to what we say every time of like, if you don't understand how it's all working together, if you don't understand the system, then it is going to be really easy for you to be blown in the wind based off of even your natural doctor or your regular doctor, and just like to not have that grounding place to go back to of like, what do I think my body needs or what is my body asking for? And so that just, again, just highlights, I think, what we're so passionate about of like understanding your body, knowing what it needs and how to look for that. And we should also, we didn't even talk about this, Leisha, of how your BBTs can indicate subclinical thyroid function too, but we'll get there in an episode. We will.
Yep. We're going to have an episode coming up on that because that's a whole thing on its own. Yeah. There's no way that would be
an addition. That in at the end. So this is a little preview, you guys.
Yes. Yeah. Let's do that. We'll definitely talk about that coming up. But for today, we'd love to hear your questions since we're going to do another episode on thyroid and metabolism and temperatures and your cycle. Ask us your questions so we can make sure to answer them. And we will see you next time. Any information shared on this podcast is solely for educational purposes, is not to be taken as medical advice or to be used as a diagnosis or a treatment plan for any medical condition. I'm sharing my educated opinions and experience, but nothing shared here can be taken on a one-size-fits-all basis. We always recommend that you do your own research, talk to your own doctors, and take full informed responsibility for any health and medical choices that you make. Thank you so much for spending your time with me today, for listening, and I hope that you were encouraged and learned something new. If you enjoyed this podcast, would you be willing to share it with a friend and to leave us a review? I believe that every woman deserves to understand her body and feel great in it, and you can help me in this mission by sharing the podcast. If you're also feeling like you're ready for the next step and you're really ready to dive in your hormone journey, my course, Nourish Your Hormones, is created specifically for you. It's a step-by-step blueprint to increase your metabolism, restore energy, and have better periods and mood every single month. I would love to connect with you, so come over and join me on my Instagram page at Leisha Drews and send me a message if you have questions or just want to tell me something that you enjoyed about this episode. I can't wait to meet you.